in a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us tonight for another interesting deep dive into world events and Revelation, how things match up together. I want to thank everyone, and I ask everyone, hey, give me a thumbs up if you like the show. Give me a thumbs up and share the content with other people within your social media, because I'll guarantee you, you cannot go anywhere and find this information. You find bits and pieces, and that's kind of what I do, is I find bits and pieces, and boy, I found a really interesting bit this last week, actually after last week's show. It's funny, it was sent just a short video, and it was something that we covered in last week's show. Riscala was when we were talking about the 13 bloodlines, and we know that out of that group of families there, that several of the last ones, closer to now, are names within European banking families, and we know that they have Jewish roots, or Hebrew roots, or maybe Franco-Sabbatean roots. That's a whole other subject, but we're not going to go there tonight. It's all linked together with our subject that we did choose, and we're looking at Revelation, the cosmic connection. Kind of an interesting topic, because, geez, when you look at the contents of Revelation and link it up, and Revelation is just full of alien creatures. They're given to us as descriptions, not exactly what they looked like, but it was a description that we could kind of understand. We weren't given little green men descriptions. We were given some pretty gruesome descriptions. Take the locusts that are sent out of the pit of the abyss. They're the size of horses. They have men's faces, lion's teeth, women's hair. They can fly, and they have tails of scorpions. And there's so many of them, they look like a locust herd. I don't know if you've never seen locusts, and I haven't seen them personally. You know, big grasshoppers, they can do a lot of damage, but look at a swarm of locusts. There's plenty of information. I'm sure you find it on YouTube. And look at the devastation that they leave in their path. We go on, and they have a king over them, the king of the pit of the abyss. Okay. His name's Apollyon, Abaddon in Hebrew, Apollyon in Greek. Apollyon, Apollo. We covered this in previous subjects, previous shows. Could we be looking at Trump as an Apollo figure, the principality that is controlling the eighth king? Oh, and he's fighting the Prince of Persia right now. Isn't that interesting? And so we have a biblical reference to another extraterrestrial that was fighting with the principality of Persia, the Prince of Persia, and that was Gabriel. an interdimensional fight, an interdimensional battle. Recorded 2,500 years ago, more than 25, about 2,500 years ago. But anyway, And here we are with a lot of different references to extraterrestrial or alien creatures throughout Revelation. And the greatest one of all, we haven't really got into, but they all come together to do battle with the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and armies of the heavens, armies plural. Time to round up the traitors. The insurrection. It's a cosmic insurrection. It's almost ironic because they're going to be going, or Trump's on the mission to get rid of the insurrection that started happening here in this country, or that has happened in this country. The manipulation of votes, spying on it. You know, start doing the deep dives and go into it. I don't want to make this a political show per se, but the big connection. Two of the things that hit me literally the next day. Talk about confirmation. The first one was a video that was sent to me, and they asked a question. Do you realize that the same group of people that killed Jesus are now in charge of preaching or teaching people about Jesus? And that would tie into those 13 bloodline families. Could they be a combination of the Jewish captors that General Titus brought back from Jerusalem in 70 CE? We can pretty much assume that those families assimilated into Europe and became part of European culture. And we can get confirmation of that when the first Congress of Zion was going to meet. It was scheduled to meet in Munich, Germany. And when the local population found out that their primary goal was to put a plan together to relocate the Jews in Europe back to the Holy Land, there was such a vast amount of protest over this insane idea that they actually had to change the meeting location to, it was Bern, Switzerland. Bern's apostle. Anyway, and that's where the first Congress of Zion actually met. I believe it was 1899. And out of that, we get a little very, very deadly book. Deadly to the owner of it, deadly to the person that has it. During the overthrow of Russia, you had the learned protocol of the Elders of Zion. And if you had a copy of that, in after the Bolshevik Revolution, that was a death sentence. They could shoot you right on the spot for having that copy, and having that book, that information. What was so damning about that information? That information almost cost Henry Ford his car company. And it was all about the protocol that has been the playbook for the last 120 some odd years now. 26, 27. It's been the playbook. Go read it. Tell me I'm wrong. So who put that together? It was a collaboration of different groups, but all roads lead to Rome. And so, yeah, the church is a captured operation. Well, no, it's a great center of dissemination and control. And that kind of brings us to where we are. It's the control factor. What Trump is in the process of doing, and it would certainly seem this way, it seems like he is going after the three city-states, independent governments, three legs of the same stool controlled by the Vatican. He's captured Washington, no longer D.C. We saw the fight over that. On the 14th? Oh, why is he doing this? Because it was a fight, and it was symbolism. And so the United States, it all has to do with admiralty law and following the rules. It's like playing a game. But they have to do it that way. And so it's all symbolism. And when you look at those certain things that happen, it adds credence to where we are. But still, the third target and the final prize, so to speak, is the taking down of the Vatican itself. And that's yet a little ways off. Now, the other thing, and this is the subject of tonight's show, I listened to Leo Zagami a few times, but he just did an interview with, I saw Michael Jacob's channel. I think it came out last Friday, 6 days ago. Interesting, the day after our show, and I had no idea of that we were going to go down that path. But he brought out an interesting connection, which we supposed, based on we'll call it hearsay evidence, but what appears to be more than hearsay evidence anymore, there seems to be a lot of evidence in the physical, especially over the last several years, of the dealings that the church has had in human trafficking. Largest human trafficker on the planet. Controls 62% of the land mass, is the mother of all corporations. And they are doing their best, according to Leo Zagami. And I can't argue with the man because I think he's correct. I had said the same thing the night before. It's the link of to the Vatican, and he did a deep dive. The Vatican's connection, their top secret alien agenda, all roads still lead to Rome. And so there's been this agenda that's been going back longer than we thought. If you've done, you know all about Roswell and you know certain names, if you've done the investigation into the history of the whole UFO project, you'll know that it goes back pretty good ways. As a matter of fact, interestingly enough, Roswell happened, let's go back to the first Congress of Zion. The same year that that was held, it was reported that there was a UFO crash in Aurora, Texas. And then we go to 1947, the same year that Israel becomes a state, and there's a UFO crash in Roswell, New Mexico. Huh. Imagine that. What a coincidence. Two things coinciding in more or less the same time, dealing with those that we could consider from the synagogue of Satan. So prove me wrong, because evidence would lean into what I'm saying as reality once you do the deep dive into it and see what we are dealing with. We are dealing with a satanic organization that's been run by principalities, extraterrestrials, and that's been happening for thousands of years. And it still is happening today. Only we've gotten to a point where we've been so manipulated to where these entities are literally getting ready to take over the planet through AI. Hey, you're not going to have to do anything. Well, wait a minute. If you don't have to do anything, how am I going to get things done? I will give you a robot. Give you one at your job, and you get one at home. You don't even have to come in. Okay. And you own nothing and be happy. Huh. Alrighty then. So, okay. I don't anything, and I'm happy just the way I am. keep your life simple. How much did Jesus own? Didn't even have a place to lay his head. Foxes have dens and birds have nests. So think about it. And we'd be great. We're thankful. We're thankful for the information and comprehension that we are living in these last days. And when Leo Zagami, if you, I had to see what his background was. Basically, in a nutshell, he's part of European aristocracy. And it's some interesting connections that he would have the inside track and could get access. He knows about the Illuminati. He knows about Freemasonry. He knows about, Klaus Schwab. There you go. But he knows the inside track on this because he rubs shoulders with the people that knew his mentors. And he had some very interesting information. And he's the first alien contact. Well, before we get there, Trump is the first president, or is he? No, he is the first president to start to release, officially have information released to the public. And, the only thing that we got before that was, I don't know, Timmy, but they won't tell me either. and I'm the president. Because you didn't have the clearance. Because there's a whole nother level of intelligence that's above the president. Ah, wait a minute. But is it above the commander-in-chief? Think about that. Is it above the commander-in-chief? And boy, we could do a political show on this sometime, but I'd rather cover it from a cosmic level. We are in this battle, and now Trump wants to control the narrative of the whole alien situation. Why? Why is he getting this released? Because they want us to get used to the idea. Hello? Hey. Slow boiled frog. Get used to the idea. Remember Independence Day. They got to show us before they tell us. Well, that was supposed to be Project Bluebeam. Goodbye, Hillary. Sorry, you can't play that card. It's a totally different card now. And it's going to be a lot more than just light shows. But the first, I never knew this, but this was interesting. The Italians had a crashed UFO in their possession. Mussolini had it in their possession before World War One, World War Two broke out. After the war, that through the Church's approval, that got sent to the United States, and so it's that there's a lot of depth in what's going on, and hey. This is happening for 100 years. They've had this technology that they've been back engineering it, and now Trump wants to get the narrative on it. Before Trump, we only had one other president. Rascal, could you play that clip there? There's only one other president that was willing to breach this subject.
In our obsession with antagonisms of the moment, we often forget how much unites all the members of humanity. Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us? What could be more alien to the universal aspirations of our peoples than war and the threat of war?
And there you go. Ronald Reagan warned us. He warned us about the aliens that were already here and a universal threat from outside this planet. Could he have been talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords coming with the armies of heaven? It sure isn't the Galactic Federation. Oh, but just what kind of show we're in for, I'm not sure. But that there's a whole new dimension that Zagami set. And Rascalic, we have, let's see, I think it's actually picture number one there. Who are the men in black? Meet the new Jesuit Superior General. One of the men in black. Superior General of the Holy Roman Empire, I guess they might be. They're essentially, he is the black pope as opposed to the white pope. He commands a military force, essentially through the Jesuit order. They control a good portion of the education. Go to a Jesuit college, and oh, all of a sudden, that's just a little bit different. William and Mary, one of the ones outside of Washington, very expensive Jesuit college, teaching the minds of tomorrow the Catholic way. You also have an order that has the largest intelligence gathering facilities on the planet. The accusation was made, CIA Catholics in action. I thought that was hilarious. But yeah, there's the men in black. And they've been controlling the narrative and keeping everything hidden and secret as they could. But yet there was an academic undertow basically here, because you actually had people from the Manhattan Project becoming involved. But it was a controlled narrative, and it was being controlled by the Jesuits, who were being the conduits. They knew everything that there was to know about any of the, quote, alien contact which we have had. And it was hush, hush. You didn't see it. It was swamp gas, and you'll forget that we were ever here. if you don't want to trip off planet. And yeah, that's the power that they wielded. And it was all wrapped around. The Men in Black might be that movie series just might be a bit over the top, but yeah, extraterrestrials, call them what you want, and they've shown us the possibilities in entertainment. Gee, what a surprise. We got to tell you about what it is before you actually have to go face it, and we'll make a joke out of it. Or an adventure. Something to capture your interest. And so here, guess what? Still, all roads lead to Rome. And it's all controlling the situation that's going on with the control of the church. And the intelligence communities. And Trump, so basically since the 1930s, the Jesuits controlled the narrative. And that narrative was basically enforced through some of the highest levels in the United States, including the Department of Energy. We'll talk about that in a minute. So they controlled the narrative. Now, that they knew, and they have, there's documentation that, yeah, we've heard that Truman had a meeting with the aliens, but Zakami didn't mention anything about Truman. He did mention Eisenhower and Nixon as having a close encounter of the third kind, so to speak. Well, okay. There were a few others. One of them that I was surprised with, Zachariah Sitchin. Riscullo, what do you know Zachariah Sitchin at all? Interesting, his association with NASA, even though he didn't work directly for him.
So what I know about Zachariah is, from what I have read, he is one of, I think only two or three, or maybe the only, while he was living, I don't think he's around anymore, but he was the only one that could translate Sumerian text. And through his work, he released information showing that there was, according to the Sumerian text, there were aliens that came here and modified some kind of a humanoid that was already here, to do work for them, and you know, and then from there it just get deeper and deeper.
Yeah, and you know, he also developed the Anunnaki or you know, and Nibiru, and a lot of that other stuff all revolved around what he was saying. You know where he was getting his information from? He didn't know how to decipher anything. I debunked his disciple. Well, I didn't personally do it, but it was like, this guy's full of crap. And I found actual professors, you know, this is about 10 years later when knowledge became a lot better. And they said that they questioned everything Zachariah Sitchin said. It wasn't what was written in the text. He translated it wrong. But you know where he got the narrative from? The Jesuits. Zachariah Sitchin was a Jesuit stooge.
So wait a minute, Peter. If I understand what you're saying, you're saying that the story about the aliens coming here and genetically modifying some kind of a humanoid that was already here, all of that is wrong?
Well, yeah, you know, I'll go back to what I wrote in Letters to Earth. Yes and no. Let's make it ambiguous here at first. When you look at the evidence, you've got the Precambrian period, where life after a billion years, and I'm going by the scientific explanation here, you didn't have much more than single cell life. Life really didn't develop. And then they say miraculously somehow the oxygen level got up to about 23-24% and life spontaneously appeared. And they don't have an answer for how that happened. They say, well, something happened with the oxygen levels. The amount of genetic information that was downloaded on this planet during what we call the Cambrian period was monumental. Monumental. And you look at written in Genesis, and you look at the fossil record, and they align, because you have to have certain things happen before other things can happen. You can't have elephants running around if there's no grass to eat. You know, it just wouldn't work that way. So the grasses came forth. You had, how many varieties of grasses do we have? How many varieties of plants? But the variety of information. Initially, it was a water world. And God's active force moved to and fro over the watery deep, and boom, you got a massive genetic download. There was more genetic information then than there on this planet than there is now. And the fossil record will show you that we've only gone through extinction level events. I'm going to go through another one. Yeah. The end aid for everybody. I don't know what else to say. But look at the fossil record. And I spent a lot of hours in the American Museum of History in New York City, looking at the fossil record. It's written in stone. And so what you see are genetic modifications. Once you accept genetic engineering, you see that there are genetic modifications all the way along, all the way down through history until you get to Cro-Magnon man. And then Cro-Magnon man ends, and you get Adam, the Adamic, which had perfect human DNA and was a child of gods. He wasn't a genetically engineered specimen. So the life on Earth most likely was genetically engineered. Who were the genetic engineers? Evidence would, yeah.
You might find it interesting. I speak, I guess it would be called conversational Arabic. Adam, the word Adam, what we call Adam, in Arabic is Adam, which is the first blood.
And God blew the life of breath into his nostrils. He was not a genetic engineer. He was a new creation made a little lower than the angels. Biological bodies with a God connection. We were physical gods, God's children. And that was the purpose for planet Earth. And genetic, now, interestingly enough, and here's the confirmation. When Eve was created, she was a tissue sample that was genetically engineered into a woman. Adam knew it at last. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This one came from man. I will call her woman. This one came from man. He knew it. We call that genetic engineering. Can they screw around and genetically engineer us today? Absolutely. The human genome has all the information for all life on Earth, all the way back to cyanobacteria. You can create a planet out of the human genome. Here's another interesting thing. Women are born with approximately 400,000 eggs in their ovaries. passing one egg a month. It would take over 35,000 years to pass all those eggs. 35,000 years. Why were we given that reproductive system? Mice can only produce a couple thousand, but they do it all the time, every few months.
Maybe we're supposed to have multiples.
So we have, well, you know, here's the thing, and men never stop producing sperm, but the original design, that was the egg capacity. We were breeders. We could breed biologically, just like the animals.
Yep.
Yes, that was one of the commands. Be fruitful, become many, fill the earth.
There's a story out of the Middle East, somewhere out of the Middle East, where this guy's got 100 children. 100. The whole city. Oh, well. I just kind of throw that in there.
That's a tribe. That's a tribe. I will multiply your seed like the stars of the heavens. Why? Because billions and billions and billions of galaxies, billions and billions and billions of stars within those galaxies, and more galaxies being constantly being made, or more star systems. There's a lot of Earth-like planets out there, and they want to control who gets there. That's why we are in a cosmic collision here, through various alien and interdimensional species. We are facing a cosmic time in history never to be repeated. This is it. This is it. Think of everything that has been happening here that we're aware of. And some people, you know, just walk around like bad time and happy, you know, 80% borderline idiots, and happy to have an IQ of 86. Jeez. We have to go back to educating people, and that'll happen. People are in for a rude awakening in the coming years. And part of the controlling of this narrative is to preserve religion. They want to preserve religion. Wait a minute. What's Trump's narrative? He's taken down, he's recaptured Washington, D.C. That'll be official on July 4th. He's now going after the city of Rome, which is the financial leg, and getting ready to deal with the fiat money that is the useless paper that we call the debt notes. Oh, I got a debt to pay here. Why am I in debt? Why are any of us in debt? Because that's the system that they set up through the Federal Reserve, put everybody in debt. So you can't afford life itself. Gonna change. Gonna change. We know through scripture that Babylon the Great, religion as we currently understand it, there you go, more debt. But wait. Is that one on the right a silver certificate?
That's correct. That's just to show the comparison, how they deceive people. The back is almost identical. There's a very, very minor difference on the back. On the front, it's about 90% the same. However, where you see Federal Reserve note on today's paper, a silver certificate. And that meant I could take them, and I actually... this happened to me. I could take a paper dollar and I could take it to the branch and they would give me a silver dollar. A silver dollar at the time was 0.875 of an ounce. Yeah, 0.87, I'm pretty sure that's it. 0.875 of an ounce of pure 999 silver. The rest of it was some kind of filler metal. So you could take one of those silver dollars today and just melt it down, which of course is illegal. But the example I'm trying to tell you is you take it and melt it down and it's worth about 50 bucks. A silver dollar today is worth about 50 bucks. So that's how they have stolen money. That's how they deceive people into thinking that we have the same as we did before. No, we don't. And this is why our money continues to shrink, because as long as we have what is called a note, it's a fancy IOU. There's no other way really to describe it. And there's nothing to back it up. Therefore, if there's nothing to back it up, we can print as much as we want. Where those of you who can see the one on the right, it says a certificate. That means for every one of these, there must be silver to back it up. For every one on the left, the reserve note, there's not your heir. That's it.
Yep. Yep. And now here's the interesting thing. I've not been following silver. It's going to do what it's going to do. But I was told by somebody who is connected to one of the richest families on the planet that silver was the place to invest in. And I was told that, geez, 15 years ago.
Yeah. And copper is going to be another one.
Yep. Yep. But more so silver because they need it. Mm-hmm. And there's a big to a whole, well, the show's not about silver, but yeah, if you got it, if you want to turn Federal Reserve notes into silver, now's a good time to do it. But you're going to have to go to a coin broker, and you're going to have to go see what they've got. Silver's only going to go up.
It's going to skyrocket, yeah, because the history of silver to gold, the ratio in the pricing of silver to gold has never been this far apart. It's always been just different than it is today. And if some of these people's assumptions are correct, it won't be surprising to see it in the hundreds of dollars per ounce.
Now, let me, you store and you save for the quote rainy day, but as it's written, their silver and gold will become an abhorrent thing to them, and into the very streets they will throw it. Whoa,
that'll be a trip.
Yeah, finally, the streets in America lined with gold. Paved in gold, you know. Interesting. But you don't have anything to eat, or you're facing the wrath of God. You're facing the wrath of Jehovah for things that you did in your life, you know. all the silver and gold isn't going to save you. You can't eat it. You can make solutions, but it won't sustain you. Buy a bag of rice. Make sure you have food stores first, long-term storage, whatever. I'd have at least some long-term, because if you have to put a to-go bag together, it's a lot easier to take some dehydrated meals and throw them in your backpack. See you later. So be prepared. And make sure you've covered your necessities to the best of your ability, because this is all about control. It's all about the narrative, and we can see by what's actually happening here that they want to still be in charge. And the Vatican still wants to be in charge here through the Jesuits of the whole alien narrative. They've changed their position to now let's get the information out. We think we can control it. And they feel that when they have full disclosure, that people will run to the church for guidance. Hold on to that dream. What if the church ain't there? Because they've been judged for all of their inane acts, which backed up war. And and unholy wars.
What happens if they see something like this in the sky? Then what?
You know,
probably, I'm sorry, are probably even far more, accurate, not so fuzzy. This picture is fuzzy, but literally something that looks real, very real, moving, not just say, because there's people who have reported, and I've seen a couple of them, something similar to what you're seeing right now on the screen, similar to this in the sky. There's a lady who said she was flying in an aircraft. It appears that she took a picture with her phone. She was right behind the wing. You can see the wing of the aircraft, and they're out in the distance. There appeared to be a man or something that looks like what you're saying on the screen now. So what's going to happen if they start with blue beam and start shooting this stuff in the air? Are you going to go to the church? Is the church going to tell you what's going on?
Yeah, you know, that's and the flip side of the coin is that you would say, well, hey, wait a minute. If they created us, if they're our genetic engineers, and everything that the church has told us has got to be a pile of crap, or religion has told us has got to, you mean we're not going to burn in hell? Nope. When you're dead, you're dead. We're not going to heaven? Nope. We biologically created. You see dogs and horses and all the Bible says it will ask back the soul from every living creature. Yep, body's dead. Soul's going back to God. Our conscious life force, which he breathed into genetically created out of the elements of the ground, a new species of life on Earth. This species had a heavenly connection. Genesis tells us God walked with Adam in the breezy part of the day. Well, what'd you name today, son? Oh, what'd you name it that? Oh, okay, that's interesting. What are you going to do tomorrow? You know, what kind of conversations did Adam have directly with Yahuwah, with Jehovah? What direct conversations did he have? And then one day those conversations ended, but that's not what this show's about. But still, because of alien intervention, oh, it was a snake in a tree, it was a serpent, it was a dragon. Yeah, well, it took the form. You can take many forms, and then you get dual narrative and quadruple narratives and false narratives and different interpretations, which become dogma and doctrine, and everybody forgets the science behind it. And they go to worshiping gods, our genetic engineers. Satan was referred to as the covering cherub of Eden. Isn't that sweet? That's in Ezekiel. But anyway, yeah, the covering cherub of Eden. And you were beautiful, and then you became corrupt. Because Cro-Magnon, man, thought you were the coolest thing since sliced bread. And Adam just got everything that you worked on for the last however many thousand cycles that it took to get to that point. And so that's why we are all precious. No, regardless of what the narrative is, it's time to make a spiritual connection. And I ain't talking about religious connections. I'm talking about spiritual connections. Use the information. I break it down the best I can so we can see what's actually going on here. And everybody's got a spiritual connection. Scott, here's a question for you. Did you ever say, I knew that was going to happen?
Yes.
How'd you know? How were you able to see into the future and know?
I'll share this with you very quickly. There was a time in my life when I was more concentrating on spiritual things, I guess is the best way to put it. So there were several times where I told people things that only they knew. How the heck did I know? I don't know. But yeah, and one of those times was on a radio show with Michael Vera, one of his guests. And I said something to the guy, and he said, well, how did you know? I pointed out a bunch of stuff to him that night. But anyway, so I think this is something that we all have access to. It's kind of, to me, and this is just my experience, it's kind of like having a muscle. If you're not exercising that muscle on a regular basis, then the muscle tends to atrophy to a degree. And I think that's what happens with our spiritual ability to communicate with the all-knowing conscience, which I think is God. I think people think that God is this man sitting in the clouds. I don't think that's what God is. I think God is a consciousness. And in order to be able to, because the Bible says if you want to worship God, you have to worship him in spirit. So wouldn't a consciousness and the spirit, aren't they related, or am I wrong?
No, you're 100% correct. Unfortunately, well, we're going to have to pick more of this up next week, but we are spiritual creatures, think angelic creatures, put into physical bodies, biological bodies, so we could reproduce. And we are the only species that will reproduce the next generation of little gods. Think about that. If we're made in the image of God, and we have a child, you know, even though that child, the demon child, no, we don't say that. Hopefully we don't say that. It's all in the management. It's all in the education. It's all in the upbringing. That's the next generation of physical children of God. Think about that. That's why Molech worship and casting your children into the fire was an abhorrent thing to Jehovah. It was repulsive. He said, I never asked you guys to do that. Never asked you to do that. Oh, God will bring you forever in hell. No. They're dogma of the church taken from Hades when the Bible was translated into Greek. And then spun by the church. Let's make hell a hot place, not just a common grave. You know, that's where you're going to be tormented forever. Wonderful. But it's they're controlling this narrative. And here's the crazy thing. Next year, Zagami got excited about next year for some reason. I guess you got to read his book to find out. But he did allude to this, he came right out and said it. He said next year they're going to start a ritual, I guess the Vatican is, which is going to last for 7 years. And this is going to happen in the heart of Africa. And this is as, I guess, we align with with Sirius. They're doing an ancient ritual for 7 years. Why are they doing this, and why are they starting next year? Now, I've mentioned this before, and I'm the only one that I've ever heard say this. And I've been saying it for a while now. 2029 in the fall will mark 2000th year anniversary of Jesus being here on earth when he started his ministry. The spring of 2033, Nisan 14, will be the memorial of his death, what we celebrated as Good Friday this year, because it landed on the same day, interestingly enough, as the biblical, as the Hebrew months lined up. It's going to be two God days, 2,000 years. When Jesus told his followers to keep his memory, to celebrate that Last Supper, as we call it, but the memorial of his death until he returns, when's the most logical time for him to return? But here, the church is going to start this, which goes until 2034. That's interesting, too. Because what they're hoping to do, and we didn't even get into the AI end of this, but the AI might as well be called alien intelligence. Yeah, they gave us the design for this because this is going to be essential in keeping track of everybody. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, quote, it'll be done in a brainwashed way. We'll be brainwashed into AI. And the majority of the people on the planet aren't even going to know it. How many AI videos do you see already? And then they were talking, well, you know, ChatGPT is the bad AI, that's demonic. Because it wouldn't answer certain questions, I guess. And they had this other one, which the military uses. Well, geez, military's using that AI as a platform to carry out its missions. How demonic could that be? Going and killing people. Killing God's children around the planet. Sounds pretty satanic to me. And so we need that spiritual connection to get back to our Creator and draw that power. And we don't want to get caught up in some AI alien trap. And they're supposed to be rolling this out in 2030. Yeah. And they can neither buy nor sell without the mark of the beast. How literal will that get? Agenda 2030. Post-humanist agenda 2045.
Already started in the UK.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've right out and said, if you don't have I think it's an idea of some sort, I'm not sure. Whatever this is, if you don't have it, you can't work and you can't buy anything.
Real IDs in America. Papers, please. Papers, please. Yeah. But they'll do it with our cell phone. You know?
you have to say that correctly. Let me see your papers.
I was being polite about it.
You're just there. Are you going?
No, you see, it's polite. Papers, please. And then your papers do not seem to be in order here. Yeah, okay. Yep. Don't go past the gate. Anyway, so we're in for some trials coming up, and a lot of us can have our faith tested. My recommendation is don't worry about religion. If you want to learn about the Bible, go find a Bible study group somewhere. You know, people who actually want to learn what's written. And there's an interesting correlation going back with what Trump is doing and the pilgrims. And the pilgrims were separatists. They didn't want to have anything to do with the Anglican Church or the Catholic Church because they didn't teach what was written in the Bible. Think about that. And those are the people who basically founded this country. Oh, but there were settlements before. Yeah, but not like the pilgrims. What they did, it basically laid down the basis for what our government is today. And so, hello, Plymouth Rock. Trialsome times are ahead. We may cover that next week because it's good to be prepared. So the gold and silver that we store don't become an abhorrent thing, but, you know, something to use for a rainy day. And we got to go through some turmoil here. They have to get rid of the insurrectionists. And so we'll see how that happens. You know, trials and tribulation, trials for who? But hey, this is why we're here, to give encouragement, to give a look into the future. We all have the ability to do it. And it all takes a connection back to our Creator. And so with that, I'm going to say thank you very much for joining me tonight. I hope everybody gathered some information out of this that they can apply in their everyday life. Hey, be grateful for the things that we have and anticipate the things of tomorrow. And with that, I'm going to say love and blessings to all of you and yours. We'll be back here same time next week. Have a great week, everyone. Thank you very much, Riscola, for producing and joining in.